I really appreciate you guys inviting me to come to be a part of Youth Night. I can't think of anyone better to come and be a part of the youth program. You know that I am really, I'm a 20-year-old guy just caught in a 63-year-old body. Well, it's good to be with you tonight and to tell you about the ministry of Good News on the Move. You know, it's interesting, Good News on the Move, it's a concept that really got started probably 40 years ago. When Jabe Nicholson was a young guy back in his 20s, he decided to get a group of young guys and to go down to Florida, and they had the idea that they would evangelize Tallahassee and just come across that particular area there with the gospel. And they went down and spent a few months doing gospel work, and the Lord really blessed it. But, you know, it's interesting. I think the Lord put a burden in Brother J.B. Nicholson's heart during that period of time for such a ministry as that. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the Lord is doing here in this assembly and the different outreaches and ministry that the Lord has put in your hearts. It's exciting to see what God does. And so many times, God takes the very ministry that we would like to be a part of, and He carries it out in the lives of our children. And I know that that's true in the life of my kids. Back to Good News on the Move. Well, about 5 years ago, Jabe Nicholson was in Reidsville doing a week of gospel meetings, and we had him over for dinner one night, and we talked about this concept. He shared with me about his trip down to Florida and how he worked with these young guys and just what a blessing it was. And he went through and told me how all of these young guys that went with him, what they're doing today in the Lord's work. And so I thought, Jabe, that is a great idea. You ought to do that again. And so little did I know that about a year later, Jabe would invite me to come to Grand Rapids, Michigan area, and we had a pioneer conference there. And Jabe had invited people from all over the North American continent to be there. And there was discussion on different works. Everyone gave a little presentation, and the reason they invited me was to tell how the work started in Reidsville. And so I remember we were at that meeting in Grand Rapids, and we had a big dinner. We had some extended dinners and great conversations, and the subject came up again. And again, everybody at the table we were seated with said, this is a tremendous idea. The timing is right, and Jabe, you need to do this. And I told Jabe, I said, well, this is a great idea, Jabe. You probably know enough people here in Michigan that you could get this thing off of the ground with no trouble at all. Well, it's kind of interesting. He asked me if I'd be interested in working with it, and I told him I would be, but I didn't see how the Lord was going to provide all the things that we needed, an RV, a Sprinter van, all the different things that we would need to travel for 9 months. I didn't have the vision to see that the Lord would do that. Well, Jabe, thought of this area here because the last great pioneer work in the United States occurred in this area, in the southeast area, with Lester Wilson. And so, Jabe, we talked. There were several guys at that conference, and we had a meeting just next door in the chapel house. And Stephen Batch was one of the guys that was with us, and we had several guys from this area, Andy Hilton. We talked about it again and thought it was a great idea. And we decided there that if the Lord would provide what we needed, we would move forward. Well, about a week later, Jabe called me and he said, someone has given us a 40-foot RV. A week later, someone given us a Sprinter van. Everything that we needed, a trailer was given. Everything that we needed to house the guys for a year was provided. And so all we needed was to get started. But, you know, again, this is not a new idea. If you look at, let me just click this right here. I've got something I need to get rid of. If you look, Good News on the Move has been around a long time. You can see here, many of you know Brother Herman Lum. He did a pioneer work up in West Virginia, Ohio, and very successful. This is Herman's, I believe it was his grandfather, who had the great idea to get a covered wagon to put some decals on the side. And he painted all have sinned. Christ came to save sinners. And you can see the decals there on it. And you can see his literature table that he had. And he had the great idea to go to Utah and to reach the Mormon people in that area. Well, not to be undone by Peter Pell back in the 30s. Brother Pell got the idea, well, why not a gospel trailer? So he had this trailer built, and you can see it's got windows all around. They could go and they could pull up on a street side. They could raise the windows and they could start preaching the gospel. They had a mobile platform anywhere they went. And the Lord blessed Peter Pell. You may know some of these guys in these pictures, but in the 40s, you can see it was taken to a new level there. Guys like Robert Booth and Robert McClurkin, I believe he's spoken at one of the conferences, or his dad has, or his son has. And so anyway, they had the idea back in the 40s, why not get a set of loudspeakers and put it on top of a car and go out into the highways and the byways and to preach Christ? Pretty neat idea, isn't it? Well, it's interesting that Karen's dad, Glenn Stewart, actually did that. I remember just when we were going through all the items at his home when Ms. Stewart moved to Pittsburgh, we found the horns that he used. And you know what? It's interesting. Gary, in particular, said that he would come to the grocery store that he was working at, and he would sit in the parking lot, he would play music over the loudspeaker, and he would preach the gospel. And Gary, one night, he said he went in and apologized to the manager and said, I'm sorry, my dad is out there doing that and disturbing everybody. And the manager told Gary, he said, Gary, one day you would give anything to have the zeal that your father has for the gospel. And Gary has told me that many times. And it's interesting how this has all worked out. I wish I had time to tell you some more stories about that. But up in Canada, back in the 60s, they got the idea of why not a gospel train? They renovated a caboose. They put it in a location back in the 60s. And you remember when drive-in theaters were very popular. Well, they put this up and had it so that it would raise up on the side and the speaker could stand there and preach the gospel, and people would come in their cars that wouldn't come to a church. And they would sit there and they would hear the gospel. And so the Lord blessed that. Well, this is what it looked like in Jabe's concept in the year 2005. We put together a curriculum that year. We had Andy Hilton put together an orientation, a two-week orientation, and we still do that. And so we started off at Mountaintop Youth Camp in 2005, September of 2005. And the Lord really blessed that first year. It was, when I meet some of the guys that were on Genom 1, I thank them for allowing us to use them as guinea pigs. Because we learned a lot through those guys. We had gospel meetings at least half of the times at nights. We had three classes a day, 5 days a week, and by 6 months, their brains were about to explode. We were giving them so much information. But we had a very good year that year, and we traveled many, many states. And you can see here where all we went that year. Then Genom 2 came along. We went to Greenwood Hills, and we started off, we figured that we needed to be further in the north when we start off every year because it gives us more time before it gets cold weather. And so we started off with Greenwood Hills, And the Lord again provided a great team of young men. And that year we made it, as you can see, we went all the way to the West Coast and back. And what a tremendous year that was. Genome 3 came along. We ended up in Minnesota at Storybook Lodge, and that was definitely a storybook year. The Lord gave us a great group of guys again that year, and we traveled all over, ended up in Waterbury, Connecticut that year with a final outreach. Genome 4, we started there in Pennsylvania, and again traveled the country. And it's been quite a trip, really. We have tried to make each year to be an adventure, and it has been. Next year, the adventure, we're thinking right now, if the Lord works out all the details, we're going to start off and maybe in Washington State and come down the West Coast and come back to the East Coast by the year end. But, you know, I'm asked all the time, how does good news on the move fit into the work of the local church? And so what I did is I put together a couple of slides here to emphasize what is the ministry of the local church. It's kind of interesting. Last year we went up to Prince Edward Island. I had the opportunity to work with both of the Canadian teams last summer. And we went to Prince Edward Island, where a couple of the guys were from. And when we left, Lauren was with us, and she said, "Dad, listen to this bulletin, this little note in this church bulletin." And it had this right here in it. "The purpose of our church, our mission statement, is to worship God." That's number one. And we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? We'd say amen. And then the second one was to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And then to evangelize the world. That's the work that's been given to the church to do. Well, again, let's ask ourselves, and we'll see how Good News on the Move fits into this equation. Worship, individual worship. We present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And he tells us there that that is our reasonable worship. That's what we ought to do with our lives, is to commit ourselves to the Lord and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind and proving what is the acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. We've got that part. You know, sometimes we slip in that area, don't we? But corporate worship. We have a weekly meeting to remember the Lord. And I think it's one of the best times of the week. In fact, our ministry really comes from worshiping the Lord and spending time with Him, doesn't it? But then the next thing we talked about is equipping the saints. If we go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, there it gives us the things for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And you think about that, equipping of the saints. And what do the saints do? They do what we've seen here. I understand there was a group meeting tonight who is preparing to disciple young guys and girls. 15, I believe it is enrolled. I got an email from Mark recently sharing this ministry with me. What an equipping ministry. But anyway, it's for the equipping of the saints so that the saints go out and do the work of the ministry. And what will happen when that occurs? Well, when we as individual believers are out in the world and we're rubbing shoulders with people and we're talking to them and we're asking them, "Has anybody ever taken the Bible and showed you how you can know for certain you're going to heaven?" And when they say no, we have the perfect opportunity to tell them what Christ has done for us and to show them how that they can trust Christ. You know, it's interesting. I had a man, 81 years old, just last Wednesday, that said he was trusting in his good works. He said that he was really good to his mother. He took care of her in her old age and that he was a good neighbor. And I complimented and I told him, I said, "You're the kind of guy I would like to have as a neighbor. I'd love to have somebody that looks out for each other." But I said, "You know what? I talked to a lot of people and asked them that question, and about 90% of the people have the same answer you have. But you know, the Bible clearly tells us how we can know for certain that when we die, we're going to heaven. And he said, well, I don't know that. Would you share that with me? We went into his home and talked to him for about an hour and a half, and he trusted Christ. And so that's the result in it. When we go out and we do the work of the ministry in people's lives. And you notice in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, he says that something is going to happen. You know, we think about each one of ourselves being a member, right? And we are. We're individual members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us all about that. But what happens is, it says here, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. It's the joint. You know, I can have a perfect finger, but if it's not connected to this hand, it's not going to accomplish very much. It can't even scratch my head because nothing can lift it up there to do it. It's that connection. It's that joint. And you know what that's speaking to us of? It's relationships, isn't it? It's our relationships that cause other people to look at us and say, they must be disciples of Christ because they love one another. They care for one another. And so that's what we see there. Well, I mentioned this already, and we'll just move right on into the evangelization of the world. You know, it's interesting, if you look at all four Gospels, each one closes with a unique aspect of the Gospel. For example, in Matthew, it tells us that we're to go and to teach all nations and to make disciples. Well, isn't it interesting, when you go to Mark, we're told where to go. We're to go to all the world, and we're to share it with every creature. And then Luke gives us the message. He says that we're to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And then, of course, you know that in John's gospel, it closes with feeding sheep, isn't it? Doesn't it? And isn't that a beautiful illustration of the gifts in the local church? The gift of evangelism, the gift of teaching, making disciples, the gift of shepherding, pastoring. They're all there, aren't they? And so that's the challenge that's before us. Now, here's what Good News on the Move's mission is. Our mission is to take young men and to train them in the areas of discipleship, evangelism, and to give them the leadership skills so that they can come back to their local assembly and help lead the assembly in carrying out the Great Commission. And you know, the second thing I've got down here is to encourage Christians in the work of evangelism as an everyday lifestyle. You know, I really thank the Lord. I was here, for you guys who've been here, I was here 20 years, and I've been gone 20 years. And you know what? I can remember when I was here those 20 years, I remember going through evangelism explosion. I remember going through many different evangelistic programs. Eddie Swartz did one on one occasion. I went through the training at the Bill Glass meetings we had. And you know, over the years, I saw a lot of people saved. But, you know, it's interesting, during that period of time and even up until the last 5 years, I talk to people everywhere I go, but what I did not do is I did not have tracts in my pocket. I did not give out the gospel to everybody I met. And so what is really important today is that evangelism become a lifestyle, a track rack in your business, sharing the good news with people and taking every opportunity to do that. That's what we're trying to encourage. You know, it's kind of interesting, just this past weekend, there was an outreach up in Georgetown in Ontario. They reached, again, the city of Georgetown, 12,000 homes. And then just the week before, they had a big outreach. I think it was a couple of hundred people who came from all over the Midwest to Kansas City, Steve Price, you've heard him at the Skyland Bible Conference last year. He was kind of heading up that, he and some other brothers in that area. And they were able to reach 20,000 people with the gospel. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what we're trying to encourage. And we're seeing it happen all over the country. And you know, I think we see it. It happened here, didn't it? If my recollection is correct, Mark told me that just a couple of years ago when we did some evangelism here, there was, I think you said, three or four people were saved that week. And the Lord really did a work. Week before last, we saw four people saved in Maryland. And the assembly is on fire for the Lord, and they're wanting to see it continue. And of course, what we'd like to see is evangelism all across North America. It'd be great to get back to where we were at 50 years ago, wouldn't it? You know, Dick shared with me, and I can't remember when it was, several years ago, it was when we were planning the men's meeting in Burlington. Dick used to be on the committee, and I was also. And I remember Dick telling me that the purpose of that meeting was not to have ministry, but to come together and pray together and ask the Lord to tell them where they needed to go next with the gospel. Wouldn't that be great? If we had a prayer meeting here in North Carolina where we could unify all the workers together, and when I say workers, I mean everybody in the audience of all the assemblies, where we could pray together and go back to those good old days. And I think we'll see the Lord do a work. Well, here's what we do. Here's the process we attempt to use. We start off with a two-week orientation. And what we do is we cover the basics of evangelism and practical Christian living. And during this two-week orientation, it's from 9 to 9 every day. And the guys learn how to present the gospel. And we try to teach them. And think about this in your life, if this would be helpful to you. Maybe if you are not there now, you would like to be. And there are people in the audience here could help you to get to that point. But you know, I've traveled enough in the last 5 years to talk to enough people. I just had a man last week that sat with me, and he was weeping when he was telling me that he had been on a walk that afternoon with his neighbor, and he said, we walked probably for a mile, and I wanted to share the gospel with him so bad, but we took the entire walk and we returned home, and I never said a word. And I prayed with him about that and shared with him some ideas of how he could learn to present and overcome that fear. And I know those of you who have been through evangelism explosion, you know that's the number one problem, isn't it? Fear to actually share the gospel. Well, what we do is we try to give these guys the information they need to answer that important question. Where they could ask someone the question, has anybody ever taken the Bible and showed you how you can know for certain you're going to heaven when you die? And if they say no, then what would you tell them? Where would you open the scriptures and start at? And you know what? I've asked many, many people that question. And many people have said, I don't know where I would start. I have no idea where I would start. But you know what? It is so easy. And I could teach you in just a week of classes how to do that with no problem. But what we've got is a 9-month Bible program, and the Bible program is laid out. We cover a number of books in the Bible. We cover a number of topics, and we do a lot of apologetic training. In fact, wherever we go in the country, if we have somebody that's an expert in that area, we will bring them in and let them teach a class. Like, for example, Paul Bramson will do a class on Islam and so forth. But we've got a 9-month Bible program, and we have two classes every morning. Then we go out in the afternoon and put what we've learned into practice. We usually will do evangelism Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if the assembly wants to do something on Sunday, we usually have a meeting there or go out in the afternoons and do evangelistic work. But it's a good curriculum. It's very positive, and it's ongoing. And what we try to do is to give the guys as many different opportunities to share the gospel. As many different venues we've been to, kids clubs, college ministers, street preaching, you name it, we've done it. Prison ministry. And we try to give the guys as big a variety as we possibly can. And this year I'm trying to implement going to another level with that and training the guys how to do visits in the hospital and how to do pastoral visiting. So we're adding that to the curriculum this year. Sometimes people think that I'm on the road all the time, but I'm not. Karen and I are gone about half the time, but we actually have six guys that work with Good News on the Move, and one of these fellows are with the team all of the time, and so we cycle in and out. We really are too old to keep up with these young guys. We don't have the energy that they have, so we cycle in and out. Scott DeGroff, many of you know them. Him, he's spoken at many of the conferences. Dave Hammond, Andy Hilton, Jabe Nicholson, and, of course, Rex Trogdon. What we do is we try to start off the year at one particular place. And, for example, this year we started off at Mountaintop. We're headed up to Rhode Island. We'll be there next week, and then we'll turn around and head south. We'll end up in Florida by January. We'll spend the month of January in Florida, then go over to Texas. And in 1st of March, we'll head north, go to Kansas, Denver, Colorado, and then come back across and probably end up in Michigan. We're not sure exactly where we're going to end up right now. But we try to end up every year with a big outreach. Our first year, we ended up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and the Lord really blessed that work there. There has been two assemblies started in Sioux Falls, Brookings area in the last 4 years. We were in Waterbury, Connecticut. We've been to Georgetown, up in Canada. Last year we had all three of the teams, the two Canadian teams and the Good News on the Move team, came together and helped them reach that town of 12,000 people. And we had people come from all over the North American continent to help us. And then, of course, last year we were in Richmond, Kentucky. And what the Lord has done there is just amazing, in what he's doing now in the lives of so many people. And the number of Bible studies that's going on, the number of people that's been saved, has just been amazing. I wish I had more time to tell you some of these stories. Well, how do we get around? We've got a Sprinter van. We had a bus that we used the first 4 years. The guys nicknamed it Barnabas. And Barnabas was good, but Barnabas liked a lot of fuel and a lot of repair bills. And last year, Barnabas was going to cost us about $10,000 to keep it running for the year, and so we sold it. And we've replaced it with another vehicle. But what do? Door-to-door, college ministry, and that's probably the guy's most favorite place to go, is to the college campuses. Because when you go to the college campuses, the young people will ask all of those questions that they're afraid to ask back home. And they'll try to stump you. They'll come up with all kinds of things. But you really get into some good ministry on college campuses. And it's tremendous to see these young guys actually stand up on a college campus with a paint board and share the gospel to these college students. And last week, it was interesting, in New Hampshire at University of Maryland, all of the guys had the opportunity to stand in equivalent to what the pit is known in at Chapel Hill and share the gospel. And it was so exciting to me to see these young men standing up, 18, 19 years old, standing up preaching the gospel and getting into conversations with people about the gospel. Well, it's an exciting thing. And kids clubs, everywhere we go, there's kids clubs. We've been in a few parades. That has really worked well. Car washes, I think we did one here one time. Beach ministries. Well, what about Canada? We've done a lot of things here in the U.S., and the folks up in Canada said they would like to see something started up there. And it may be that we'll end up doing more in Canada. The Lord came up with the idea of Cross Canada Cruisers, and what the plan was is to get some old antique cars, 50 models, and take those cars and drive them from each coast, Prince Edward Island, Vancouver, and meet in the middle. Now, that was quite a deal, but we actually did that last summer. And everywhere we went, people are more than happy to come and to look at this car. And you tell them the story of being ruined and being rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have materials that demonstrates all of that. But the team in Canada, they run exact opposite as us, same goals. And here's some of the cars that we used for the ministry. And we have a 57 Chevrolet, and I told Jabe I was going to leave good news on in the move and go to Canada and drive that 57 Chevrolet across Canada, because that was the dream when I was 16, 18 years old. I see some head shaking and smiling, and I know it was your dream too when you were that age. And really, you can take these cars and you can go anywhere, and those folks will talk to you, and you can get into the gospel with them. I was just talking yesterday, Brother Arden sitting in the audience. He told me yesterday that he has three 57 Chevrolets, and Chevrolet, 57 Chevrolet, is the most popular car that has ever been produced. And I was talking to him, why not take a car like that and go to some of these car shows? Go to these street festivals and enter the parades and pass out gospel literature as you're in the parades. And I think, don't let me put words in your mouth, brother, but I think you said you would be willing to let somebody use one of the cars to do that if you would like to start a ministry like that, and you would really take good care of his car. That would definitely be number one thing. But here's the Canadian team. We had the Lord provided a good group of guys there, and we had some of the old Genome 1 team members come back and were the leaders for that that group up there. And then back in last fall, we took the Good News team from United States up and met up with them, and it was a great time. We had about 25 guys there working in the gospel together, and it was a buzz in the air, I can tell you. There was a lot of excitement, and the Lord really blessed. There were several people saved, and several that's come into the assembly, and they're doing Bible studies now with many of them. And Jeff Johnson was just up there last week with them doing devotions for their outreaches last week, and they turned it into an annual event. And here's, of course, Karen and I just had to get in on the picture. And, of course, this was we parked the vehicles like this, and people just stop and want to look at those cars and ask what is going on. We know something is happening, and you can share the gospel with them. Well, what can you do to help? Well, you can pray to see souls saved and laborers raised up in the United States. You know, it would be great to see the Lord raise up a group of young men that would take the charge, if you will. I have a vision. It's okay for old men to dream dreams, okay? One of my dreams is that what would happen in North Carolina alone, we would have a group of young men that would get interested in learning the gospel and doing the very thing that we're training these young guys to do, and to have a team in the state of North Carolina where we could do outreaches on an ongoing basis. You know, I think one of the greatest things that you can do for the young people is to take them out and let them see firsthanded what it's all about, what life is all about. You know, when the young people go out, it doesn't take them long to realize when they knock on a Christian door's home, usually they will thank you for what you're doing and they'll have a smile. And the ones who are rude, the ones who are angry, the young people look and see there's a big difference between what I see in Christianity and what I see in the world. And they're able to go out and to see the consequences of sin without participating in it. And that's what we want, isn't it? And you know, we see it all the time. We see everybody from kids. I remember with Genom 1, we had one of the leaders, the leader that year, he had four little girls. And I could take one of those little girls and put her in a stroller, and I could go anywhere, and anybody would talk to me. They'd say, an old codger like this with a little grandchild? Yeah, he's okay. He's safe. We can talk to him. That's it, isn't it? Everybody needs to be involved. The whole assembly, the ones who can't get out and walk, well, they need to be here praying for you when you go out and do it. And the babies, they can even encourage you. Because I know this year we've got a leader who's got five little girls. One's 8, all the way down to 2 years old. And you know what happens when we come back? The guys can't wait to get to those little girls to pick them up and hug them. So those little girls are playing an important part, aren't they? We all play a part in this. And so what we're praying is, and we'd like you to pray with us about it, that there would be a renewal of evangelism and a desire to carry out the Great Commission. You know, I've got a slide here that I had, and I was looking at putting it in here, but let me just share the information. Door to door. I've had many people tell me, it does not work today. Door to door does not work. Well, the Mormon Church has 500 missionaries that goes to Utah every Wednesday and becomes a part of a training program, and they travel all over the world. And there's these missionaries go 500 a week. You know how many new churches the Mormon Church is planting? They plant, I believe, the number in Uplook magazine, it was 7 churches a week. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I wish I had my slide on this. I should have put it in there, but I didn't. I didn't think I would have time to share it. But they're doing something like they're planting 45 churches a week. It's incredible, isn't it? Satan believes in door-to-door. And you know, the Apostle Paul believed in door-to-door. When he went door-to-door, but he was looking for Christians to persecute them. And you know, I could tell you story after story after story of people telling me that it doesn't work. I had one guy in Sioux Falls, he came, he said, I came, the reason I came was to find out what's wrong with what's going on. I knew there was something wrong, this is too easy. And he said, I knew that door-to-door didn't work. He went and knocked on the very first door he knocked on. A lady came to the door and he was holding a John 3:16 verse. And she said, you know, I've just been praying that God would send somebody to help me to train my children in the Bible. Would you help me? He wept. And he was one of the leaders of the Canadian team just 2 years later. But if you'd like to know more about what's going on, you can join our weekly email. You can go to uplook.org, and we'll tell you where we're at every week and give you a bit of a description of the assembly that we're working with. And you can pray for new Genom members. We'll have a new team starting in September of 2009. If you have any young men, I see several young men in the meeting here tonight. If you're interested in being a part of Genom 6, see me after the meeting. I'd love to talk to you. One of the questions that we have many times is, well, what kind of tuition do you have? What does it cost for me to be on the team for a year? Well, here's what it costs. A lot of love, a lot of hard work, and a lot of tears. The Lord provides everything that's needed every year. We have just been amazed at how God has met the needs everywhere we've been and the number of people that has been reached with the gospel. It's interesting, last Sunday when I was driving home from Maryland, I had a young guy on Genom 1 that called me up, and he said, Mr. Denny, I just wanted to thank you. He said, I just came from one of the best times of my life. He said, I just wanted to let you know that was the best year of my life. And I told Karen when I was telling her the story, I said, I hope his wife wasn't listening in the car. But then she said, well, it was the best year of his life because he met his wife in North Dakota. So it was a good year. But he was so excited about what God had done in his life since then in sharing the gospel. And of course, you can always invite Good News on the Move to come to your assembly, to partner with you for a week, and to help you in any way that we possibly can. We will be in Winston-Salem the first week of November. If any of you would have time that week, would like to come and be with us, we'll have classes all Tuesday through Friday, and then we'll have a Saturday outreach. If you could like to come and join us for that, just let us know. We need to know how much literature to have on hand. So if you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. And if any young guy would like to come and to explore Good News on the Move, I can arrange it for you to come and to spend a week with us somewhere. Just see me and we'll figure out a date. I'll tell you where we're going to be at, and we'll make connections there. In fact, since we live so close together, you could even ride a week with Karen and I the week we're going to be with the team. And of course, you can just reach me. My email address is here, and I've got some cards if you would like that. Pray for the final outreach that we'll have. And again, look on the fields. They're white unto harvest. There's a bumper crop of sinners. And when you go out and you do door-to-door and you knock and see it firsthand, you realize the condition of the society that we live in. And let me tell you what, throwing money at the problem is not going to solve it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to solve the problems in the lives of these kids who are starving and hungering for somebody to love them. That's what's going to do it. And the gospel will do it. Pray. The Lord said, the harvest, it's a bumper crop. The harvest is plentiful. The problem is we don't have enough laborers. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. You know, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And what was his response? Hear my Lord, send me. Send me. Well, I'd like to share with you an opportunity next summer, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to go a minute or two. I'll just tell you about this. Next summer, we're planning on doing a week of outreach in Northridge Bible Chapel. Hopefully next week at the youth rally, I'll have a date for you. The elders are deciding on a date right now. And we're praying and that the Lord would give us, you know, 50 to 75 young people to come and older folks to come and to be with us that week. John and the folks there in Raleigh have already identified an area that they want to go to and reach with the gospel. They're already doing kids clubs in the neighborhood. There's already a group from there that's coming to the assembly that's got a Spanish meeting that goes on at the same time they have their meetings on Sunday morning. And so we're wanting to go there. If you'd like to be a part of that next summer, I'll have you a date at the youth rally, and I'll send an email to Mark and he can post that. But if you're available next summer, we would love to have you come and to be a part of that. I'll be here. If you've got any questions, I'd love to talk to you. Now, I have got about a 10-minute video, and I know we're over time, so what we're going to do is go ahead and dismiss the meeting. And if you would like to see the video, if you would just stay behind and come on down front, we'll wait about 10 minutes to give everybody an opportunity to get out the doors without a rush or anything like that. But then we'll show that video if you'd like to see that. I just thank you for allowing me to come tonight and to tell you about Good News on the Move and what God is doing. And what God is doing in the lives of young men. It thrills my soul. You know, Paul instructed Timothy to find some faithful young men. And when he found those faithful young men, what was he to do? He was to share with them the things that God had taught him. And you know, that's what we're trying to do, is we're looking for a few good men. Paul described them as faithful, able, and teachable. And that's what we want, a few young men. We need about 10. If the Lord provide 20, we would have two teams. The only problem is laborers. We just need the laborers and the ones who are interested in going out and doing this. One of the big questions for parents that they ask me quite frequently is, should they come to Good News on the Move or go to college first? My recommendation is to come do something like this first, and then you'll find that when you go to college, you'll be one of the leaders on the campus. Most of our guys who have gone back to college, they are leading Bible clubs. They're heading up outreaches and doing things like that in the college campus, and the Lord is really blessing them. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to see me, and we'll start the video in about 10 minutes, okay? Let's commend ourselves to the Lord. Father, we come to you tonight, and we just thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. Father, you have done exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever hoped or even had it in our minds to ask you about. We just give you thanks. Father, we thank you that you have made us ambassadors. You have given us the greatest news in all of the world, that a man can have, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, can have a personal relationship with a God of the universe. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to go out and to share that good news. We give you thanks now for our time together. We pray that you would bring blessing. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.